It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
State of recruiting. We are going to be joined this week and every week by Nick Harris of 24/7 Sports. It's going to be our second show of the week, and really what we're trying to do is expand the podcast a little bit and bring you guys a little more content. So our late in the week show is going to be more of a mailbag, and we took submissions over on the Horns 24/7 board, and you can ask your questions over there on the board, and we'll take the questions from there every week and answer them here. But before we get into that, I did want to introduce Nick Harris, my co-host on this podcast, and our newest employee over at Horns 24/7, who is going to be our new recruiting reporter and contributor. Very excited to have Nick, a guy that I've known for a while and have watched him work as a young up-and-comer in this business. Kind of reminds me a lot of the way I came up, just kind of working hard and just being everywhere and forcing people to know who I was. And that's kind of the way Nick came about. And so I'm excited to have Nick. Nick, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a thrill to be on and a thrill to be on the website. Had a lot of fun here in these first couple of weeks interacting with everyone. And I'm excited to get into this 2021 class.
Yeah, but before we do that, let's get to know Nick a little bit. So if you could just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you came from, kind of how you got here and everything like that.
Yeah, I grew up in the East Texas and DFW areas. Graduated from Rockwall Heath High School in 2018. Currently a college student down here in Austin, transferring to UNT next year. So double duty with a college student life, but other than that, not much going on, just football and covering recruiting as far as these last 6 months have gone.
Yeah, so we're really excited to have Nick. I think he's going to add a new dimension to what we do coverage wise. Nick's a little more into like some newer technology that I don't know, so video, things like that. We're going to be able to bring you some really cool productions, I think, once we really get going. Well, let's hop right into the questions then. Again, these questions were submitted over on the board at horns247.com. You can subscribe to horns247. You can be a part of the show. Drop your questions over there. We've also got our full recruiting content, we've got our team content, and our message board community. I should also take the time to mention that we also have a couple of other podcasts. The flagship with Taylor Estes, Chip Brown, they just had Chris Del Conte on this week, so that's worth a listen. And then the Longhorn Blitz with Jeff Howe and Rod Babers, always worth a listen, one of my favorite podcasts out there. All right, the first question comes to us from Horns Up 0588. He says, Mike, with the exception of the Brockermeyer brothers, in your opinion, who is a can't-miss recruit for the 2021 class, and who would be your bell cow recruit for 2022? I hate the words can't miss recruit because you don't ever want to paint yourself into a corner of we have to get this guy. But I think that there are exceptions. Like, I think if you have talents like James and Tommy Brockermeyer, who are in-state, so highly talented and alumni of your, legacies of your school, their father, Blake, played at Texas, of course. That's as close to can't miss as you can get, and you really need to land those guys. Outside of those guys, I think that Texas, you really have to look towards the premium positions. So that may be defensive end, whether it be Landon Jackson or Tumisha Adelie at defensive end, whether it be maybe cornerback with Ishmael Ibrahim, and then of course holding on to your quarterbacks. So Jalen Milroe already in the class, Texas looking for a second. I think those are some guys that I would call quote unquote can't miss. But again, I mean, there's nobody that I would really say you can't miss on. I think that you have to find as much talent at the certain positions as you can. There are some positions like running back where I think that you can't place that much positional importance on it, although it is great to land those playmakers. I think that, you know, it's you're better served going in the can't miss area in some of those other positions. In 2022, I think it's very simple. I think that Quinn Ewers from South Lake Carroll, the quarterback, is, to me, not only a guy that is supremely talented and a guy that I think is going to be one of the better quarterbacks to come along out of the state of Texas in the last 4 or 5 years, but I think he's also a guy that players are going to want to play with. So for me, it kind of always starts with the quarterback. And so I'm going to say in 2022, Quinn Ewers from South Lake. What about you, Nick?
For the 2021, like the comments said, the Brockermeyers are obviously going to be two guys that Texas is going to have to land for, you know, for it to be a respectable class, because like you said, they're legacies of the school, grew up as Longhorn fans, so those would be huge lands. But as far as other guys that are can't misses, I'm going to stay on the offensive line and go with Savion Byrd. That's another kid from the DFW area. We both have crystal balls for Texas for him right now, but as far as going forward, I think Savion Byrd would be a huge land in this class, and Bryce Foster still staying on the offensive line. But like you said, Landon Jackson, that's another big one that I think would be a huge, huge land for this 2021 class. Really talented defensive end out of Texarkana Pleasant Grove, and then his teammate Marcus Burris. There's a lot of talent up and down in the state of Texas for the 2021 class. It's really deep this year. It's not so top-heavy as it was last year in the 2020 class. There's a lot of depth, and because, I mean, you got guys that are, you know, in the 20s to 30s in the state rankings, like Ishmael Ibrahim, you know, who can contribute at the Power 5 level almost immediately. So there's a lot of dogs in this 2021 class that I'm excited to get going with, and hoping to see a couple of them land in burnt orange.
You know, I think you made a really good point there. You really, when you talk about can't miss, you have to look at where the talent concentrations are, right? So in 2018, Texas swept the entire state at the defensive back position, basically, and landed everybody they wanted. That was that massive class of Anthony Cook and Deshaun Jameson, Jalen Green, Caden Stearns, etc. In 2021, it seems like the glut of talent is in the trenches, offensive and defensive line. So I think you have to hit those positions really hard, especially in the trenches, which are areas where Texas doesn't necessarily produce high-end talent year after year. I think they've really got to make the most of those. All right, our next question comes from St. Milrow 3. It says, how are we looking for out-of-state prospects, and have you heard any positive or negative comments? For out-of-state guys, I have a very simple rule. There's a lot of guys who talk about a lot of out-of-state guys who say the right thing if I get in contact with them. And, you know, I've probably done 100 interviews in the last 2 weeks with out-of-state kids who've gotten offers. And it's probably the last time we'll talk, because they won't show that much serious interest in Texas. They probably won't visit, and they'll go the other way. And that's kind of the way recruiting is. So for me, you know, until a guy like is, you know, pretty serious about making a visit on their own dime, I can't consider them a serious target for Texas. That said, there are a couple guys. I talked to Christian Leary, the wide receiver from Orlando, Florida. You know, he seems interested in taking a visit. Troy Stellato, the wide receiver, who I think is one of the more underrated prospects in the state, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I think he's the guy that has been pretty serious about, you know, maybe scheduling a visit and really looking into Texas. I think that the feedback he's been giving to Texas has been pretty strong. And then Jalen Davies, a cornerback from Modern Day, who I just actually had a story with this morning, I think is a guy that I could see visiting. You know, those California kids, those out west kids are a lot more likely, I think, to make visits, because I think that we've talked about this before. You know, Texas is just, for people who want to get out of California, Texas kind of gives them that at-home feel, but gets them away from the state.
Yeah, and I agree. And kind of looking ahead to the 2022 class, I know it's kind of 21 specific, but Dayson McCullough is a kid I talked to last week, and we have an article up on Horns 247, my conversation with him. He seemed pretty interested in not only Texas, but just the state of Texas, and wanting to get down here and take a visit to some of the Power 5 schools that we have in the state of Texas. And him being a recruit up in the Kansas area, he says he really doesn't have any interest in staying in state, really doesn't matter to him. So I think that's a kid here in 2 years that we could look at as a big-time athlete athlete prospect that could very well be a big time out of state.
Yeah, and I think what's important there is 22. You've got a lot more room, right, to kind of work on him. The 21s you're making offers to right now, those guys are pretty much for the most part going to be trimming down their lists here soon, and you may be too late on them. But the 22 guy like McCullough, you've got some room to get in there and maybe convince him to get down on an unofficial visit, and then that sets you up for official visits in the future. All right, our next question from O'Horns. He said he wants to know how many out-of-state players is Texas truly in the running for, which I think we kind of talked about just there. But and then he wanted to rank the positions of need and talk about some can't-miss guys for 2022. So let's do positions of need. I think Texas did a great job addressing the running back position in 2020 with Bijan Robinson, but I think that they need to continue to add depth and playmaking ability there when you're looking at guys like Kamar Wheaton and LJ Johnson and Jonathan Brooks. Those are, you know, some of the main targets for that. I think corner is a big area of need. I think it's always an area of need in the state, and Texas only signed one in 2020, so they definitely need to continue to add some more there. And then receiver, I would say probably wide receiver is a position where I think that for years Texas has kind of been stocked up there, but right now, you know, there's some uncertainty about who's going to step up next in the wake of Devin Duvernay and Colin Johnson and those guys. And so I think you in the Big 12, you kind of have to continue to add playmakers on offense.
Yeah, and you took the words out of my mouth on that one about the cornerback position. There's a lot of really talented cornerbacks in the state for the class of 2021. You got guys in state like Latrell McCutcheon, Ishmael Ibrahim, Hunter Washington. And even if you can land two of those three guys, assuming McCutcheon stays with Alabama, that would still be a fantastic load to take at the cornerback position for the 2021 class. And again, playmakers, running backs, wide receivers, those guys that can, you know, turn 3-yard gains into 10-yard gains. Those are the guys that the Big 12 needs, the guys that Texas needs, and definitely want to load up at those positions in every recruiting class.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about the 2022 can't-miss guys. Again, I hate the words can't-miss, but to give you an idea of big-name guys, I think that when you talk about – we already talked about Quinn Ewers. I think if you want to talk about wide receivers, Armani Winfield and Caleb Burton are high up there. If you want to talk about offensive line, Cam Dewberry is high up there, as well as Nick, I'm blanking on my guy's name from Bowie, Devon Campbell. Yeah, he's up there as well. And then, you know, guys like Jadarian Price at running back, I think he's up there as well. Nick, any 2022 guys that stick out to you?
Yeah, the only guy you didn't really mention is Jadon Blue. I think Jadon Blue is going to be a big-time can't-miss guy just because he's already shown how interested he is in Texas so early in the process. And then if we're going to talk about the cornerback position, Denver Harris is a guy I've been super high on. I think you've known that. I think a lot of people have known how high I am on Denver Harris. So that's a kid I would love to see Texas land in the 2022 class. And then you said Caleb Burton right here in the Austin area. That's a big-time target. Burton loves the Longhorns, grew up he didn't grow up a Texas fan, he's had a lot of Texas influence over these last few years out of Del Valle. So that's a big-time target that I think Texas can land in 22.
Yeah, one other guy I'll mention there, Austin Jordan, the Denton Ryan corner, who I love.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he's going to be a big-time kid as well nationally. All right, next question comes from Hook'em ATL. Says, which of the top targets plan to make a commitment prior to the start of the season, or in other words, before Texas plays a game with the new coaches? So right now, we're still very much in the process of finding out, you know, for the most part, timelines. I think there are a few recruits out there who have made it known that they want to commit in the summer, but, you know, these things are very fluid right now, and I think that if you go back to this time last year, you see guys who were talking about making a signing day decision who ended up making a May decision, and vice versa. So still very much in the process. I think, you know, the Brockermeyer brothers have said they want to make a decision in the summer, but I don't think they're necessarily married to that if they haven't made their decision. And that's really what Texas is going to have to fight against, is they're back in prove-it mode with these new coordinators and this new staff, and they're not for as early as recruiting happens anymore. You know, they're going to have to prove it without being able to really get on the field.
Yeah, and then you also have Tumisha Adeliye scheduled to make his commitment on August 1st. But like you said, that could change whenever. But that's definitely one we're going to be looking for before the season starts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, our next question coming from DFW Horn 1207 says, if Texas wins 10-plus this year, are they taking home a top-three class? It's so hard to predict top-three for sure because of the level Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Georgia are all recruiting at. It's very hard to get up there. That said, Texas recruited back-to-back top-three classes, and they did it. One year when they were, a six and five team or a 7-5 team, and another year when they won the Sugar Bowl. So yeah, I think I've always said that Texas is a giant. If they can win, they can really turn that recruiting effort into a machine.
Yeah, I agree completely. And with all the in-state talent that we have in 2021, if the Texas Longhorns win 10 games in 2020, I could definitely see them taking home a top three class.
Yeah. Okay. Next question from B Bonner 14 says, "Hey Mike, who are some of the kids in Texas that may be lower rated by that the staff has reached out to that might be due for a ratings bump?" That's a good question. I think. And remember, when we talk about ratings this early in the process, these guys have been rated a little bit in the 2021 class, but their ranking process seriously begins now, and they'll get a big evaluation in the spring when that change is made. I think that you'll really see guys start to kind of fit into where they were. Remember this time last year, Jackson Smith-Jigba was a 3-star prospect, ended up as the top, top 15 player in the country. So rankings are still very much evolving. But that said, I think Jonathan Brooks, the running back from Hallettsville, is a kid that's going to rise. By the way, just a heartwarming story of me talking to Jonathan Brooks last night. And I think I love this kid. In the age of so many kids complaining about their rankings, Jonathan Brooks asked me last night if he was a 3-star. And I told him, yeah, but I think you're going to rise during the spring. And he goes, so it's official, I can post I'm a 3-star? And I said, yeah, man, you're all good. Like, you've got a 3-star ranking by us right now, but I think you're going to go up. And he goes, what does this mean that I'm the number 49 running back? And I said, well, that means you're the number 49 running back in the country. He goes, man, I never could have imagined that. And so he was really excited just to be ranked at all. So I think I love that kid now.
I love the small town kids. They're always so humble about their rankings.
Right. So, yeah, I think he's a guy that's going to go up. Nick, a guy you're pretty familiar with, and you could maybe expand on, Romario Noel, the Baylor commit, I think is a guy that with his size and speed could go up.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a kid that's super versatile. I mentioned it on the board earlier this week, and he could be a guy that could move to linebacker before it's over with, or move out to the edge at corner. He's a guy that's going to be really, really interesting to see over the spring and during his senior season.
I would also say Elijah Arroyo, the tight end for Frisco Independence, that kid is going to go up just from seeing his film and getting a little bit more familiar with him. Man, the state has not produced tight ends like that in quite a while. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I like Isaiah Nwokobia from Skyline. I think he's a guy that could really see his profile rise over the next year as well.
Yeah, and another tight end I think is Landon King, 200 spots nationally behind Elijah Arroyo. I can see him jump pretty high here in the next ratings release.
Okay, our next question comes from OB James 23. It says, where does Texas stand in the Bryce Foster and Savion Byrd recruitments? That's a good question, and what we're working on right now is a Savion Byrd update, because early on it really looked like Texas was runaway favorite for Savion Byrd. But I think, and people are going to laugh when I said this, they laughed when I said it about Preston Stone, I think SMU is creating a ton of momentum for Savion Byrd right now. And the word behind the scenes right now is that if Savion had to commit right now, I think SMU might be the school that wins out. And so Texas really needs to do some work and get him back on campus. Bryce Foster did visit for one of the quote-unquote elite days or junior days or whatever you want to call them. In January, we talked to him there. Texas did make his final cut of schools. They will get an official visit. I think A&M's always going to be tough in that one. I think Oklahoma's going to be tough in that one. And I think maybe an out-of-state school like Georgia might be tough in that one. But, outside of that, I think Texas likes where they stand. And I think that, they've got kind of the aces up their sleeves with Hayden Connor and Jalen Milroe already in the class.
Yeah, and you also got Oregon as an out-of-state player for Bryce Foster, I think. I wouldn't say that they're a crazy big threat, but it's definitely a school to keep an eye on going forward in his recruitment.
Absolutely. Okay, next question from Longhorn Fan 815. He says, is Texas in a better spot for LJ Johnson or Kamar Wheaton right now? And they asked me if I still personally prefer Johnson over Wheaton. Yeah, I do prefer Johnson over Wheaton. I mean, I think they're both very talented, very athletic kids, but I think that LJ Johnson's just got a little bit more natural running ability. So that he would be my pick as the top guy. And I think LJ Johnson's probably in the better spot right now, just considering he's visited recently and Wheaton has not. That said, Kamar is kind of, you know, he's a withdrawn kid, pretty quiet, tries to keep his plans pretty shrouded. So he could pop up on campus at any time. And you know, there was a period of time last summer where I felt really strong about Kamar Wheaton ending up in the Texas class. But right now, I would say they're in a better spot for LJ Johnson.
Yeah, and I would agree 100% on both of those answers.
Okay, so our next question from Hookem Keyshawn says, how can Texas combat the fact that recruits cannot tour the facilities now that Moncrief is destroyed? Well, it's simple. They've got to show them pictures. You know, that's the way. They've done a really good job kind of converting that north end zone, like where they've built the Hall of Fame area, into like a visit center. And I think that's where you're seeing all the pictures they're taking now and a lot of the stuff they're doing. But, you know, that's something to sell. It's just, hey, you know, we're sorry, we can't show you the facilities right now, but we're going to build something really cool. And, you know, I think as guys come on visits, they can see, you know, the progress as it goes along.
Yeah, and they're throwing that up pretty quick. I was actually driving by it yesterday. If you drive down San Jack, if you're in the Austin area, you can kind of see the progress on it as you're going by the stadium. And they've already got a lot of the framing up. They've got some of the actual plaques and memorabilia that they're going to have hanging on the walls. They already have some of it up already. It's looking pretty cool so far, and I think Del Cani, he posted a couple of pictures of it yesterday, and I think it's really important during the construction process just to get all these pictures up on social media so recruits can see. And we were talking to him after Elite Day, and all of them, whenever we asked them, you know, what's your favorite part of the visits, it was, man, these upgrades are going to be incredible. So definitely the staff is already hammering home what it's going to look like when it's completed, and recruits are already excited about it. And, I mean, if you're talking 2021 and 2022 recruits, by the time the 22 class gets there, it'll already be complete. So I think the only recruiting class that they may have had issues with selling what the facilities will look like and how it will be on those facilities is probably the 2020 class, just because they'll have two full seasons without it. But you know, that's past. So I think the 21 and 22 class will be a little bit easier to sell.
All right, our next question, also from Hookem Keyshawn. He asked a bunch of questions in this thread, so thank you for your contributions. He said, let me just run these three. What are the chances Texas can flip Donovan Jackson? I'm going to say almost none. There was a period of time where there was some optimism on Donovan Jackson landing at Texas, but A, he seems like a kid who makes a decision, sticks with it. B, unless Ohio State really messes something up, they're probably going to be pretty good again. I just don't see it happening. Nick, you have anything on Donovan Jackson?
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, his question is, who's the most likely second quarterback in 2021? Right now, they only have offers out to Sawyer Robertson and Garrett Nussmeier. I think out of those two, I've, like I said on the board, I have not been able to get in touch with Sawyer Robertson at all, and I've heard he's kind of that way, kind of tough to get in touch with, period. So right now, I would say Garrett Nussmeier, just because I know him a little more. But I think it's likely, probably, if you give me an option for the field, somebody that they haven't offered yet, maybe Nick's got a guy in mind. I think that could be, you know, the answer.
Yeah, the guy I would have in mind is Caden Salter. I love Caden Salter out of Cedar Hill. I think that's a guy that if they can't land Sawyer Robertson or Garrett Nussmeier, I think that's definitely a guy that they could offer. I think that's also a guy that they could easily land. But the thing working against in Caden Salter's recruitment is former Cedar Hill coach Joey McGuire being in his ear pretty heavy about getting to Baylor. He's super high on Baylor right now. I think we both have crystal balls in for Baylor for Salter right now. But if Texas were to offer, it would make things really interesting. I would love to see Salter in the burnt orange.
All right, and last question from Hookem Keyshawn was, how good is Charles Wright from Austin High? He just got a crystal ball to Iowa State. Charles Wright's a guy I really like. Saw him a couple years ago when I went to go see Elijah Higgins play Austin High, And Charles, you could tell, was a very good quarterback that just didn't have a ton around him playing as a sophomore. He's a kid I've gotten to know. I really like him. His family is all basically all Texas. I believe his grandfather or great-grandfather played at Texas, something of that nature. I know his grandfather I see all the time. He's very involved in the DFW Texas Lunch Bunch. And when I go out there and meet with them, you know, I always get a lot of questions about Charles. I think he's a really good player. He's just in a bad class because this is a stacked year at quarterback. Iowa State, I think, is a school that got on him early and has been recruiting him like he was a priority.
I think it would be a shame if some of these group of five schools in Texas can't land him, but you can't blame them for going out of state to a Big 12 school like Iowa State.
All right, and our last question from Longhorn Lee is, will Texas finish with more in-state or out-of-state commits? I've got to lean in-state. You know, a couple of years ago in 2019, it was close. I think it was like 15 and 14, basically, something of that nature that they ended up with. And that was really an outlier of signing a class, you know, majority built with out-of-state prospects. I think you saw them come back this year where they signed, 19, and I think 18 of them were in-state. So I think that if I'm going to guess, they're going to try to lean majority in-state. But, you know, if they're in a spot where they have to go out-of-state, kind of like they did in 2019, they've certainly proven they can do it.
Yeah, I think it's just a little too early to answer that question right now because, like you said, it's hard to gauge out-of-state players' interest until they get on campus. So this may be a question that we could better answer, you know, come May or June when we, you know, see the guys that are taking visits out here and, you know, the guys who seem like they could want to come out to Texas. So that's just one we're going to have to sit on and wait to get a full evaluation of.
All right, now that's going to do it for basically all the questions. Again, we're going to open this up every week on the Hornch 24/7 board for you to ask your questions. Most weeks, just about every week we can. Nick's going to join me on this. Sometimes Nick will be traveling back and forth from the Metroplex, so he may not be able to get on, and in that case, I'll probably just do it myself. But it was a good time, Nick, and thanks for joining me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be on over the next few weeks.
All right. So you guys subscribe, like, subscribe, rate, review, all those good things. It really helps our show out on iTunes if you do that, State of Recruiting. Check out our other Hornch 24/7 podcast. Check out our other 24/7 sports podcast. We are really expanding the podcast network and bringing a lot of awesome shows. So, you know, really check those out. If you've got a national perspective, we've got shows on that. If you want a West Coast perspective, we've got shows on that. If you want a Big Ten perspective, we've got shows on that. You know, just about anything you want, we got it. So check it over at 247.com/podcast. For Nick Harris, I'm Mike Roach. We thank you guys for joining us this week.
Original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount+.